Oh, yes, we discussed it at every conference that we had with the military. There's always things like that going on. Flying saucers, and they've had other things, you know, if I'm not mistaken.
And now we're going to talk to Nori Torres and John LeMay, who have their own event going in Roswell, and we'll find out about that, as well as their new book. And their new book is quite interesting. It's actually a remake, only it's a little more than that. They've added a lot of things to it. So they call it Volume 2, and it really is Volume 2. And it's basically about the Old West and UFO encounters, John Wayne types. And so let's talk to John LeMay and Nori Torres. And the name of the book is The Real Cowboys and the Real Aliens, and you have a subtitle too. Nori and John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jerry. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. And Nori, how you doing?
Yes, Jerry, doing very well here in South Texas, working with John LeMay and several other people on various projects, and just having a great time in anticipation of the upcoming Roswell UFO conference.
Yeah, I'm going to get into the book here in a little bit, but let's talk about Roswell first. What do you guys got going on during the anniversary this year?
We have a special honor and privilege to be holding a UFO conference over at the Roswell Museum and Art Center, which is located in downtown Roswell at Main Street and 11th. And that's right next to the convention center, Jerry. You know you've been out in that area doing your Roswell broadcast many times.
And, yeah, I know quite where it is, and that's a nice facility.
That's a beautiful facility. We're going to be using the auditorium there that they've got in the Roswell Museum and Art Center. John and I will be presenting, as well as a number of other well-respected and very experienced UFO researchers, such as Dennis Baltazar, and also Dr. Donald Burleson, who, by the way, is the state director for the Mutual UFO Network of New Mexico.
Now you're with that same organization down in Texas. What are you, a section?
Yes, I'm a state section director in South Texas.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're just thrilled at the opportunity to bring all these wonderful speakers who have a lot of years of experience in the field to have them with us. Now, we just have a last-minute addition to our conference, which is going to be revealed for the first time anywhere tonight on your show.
I like that. A little exclusive. Tell me about it.
Yes, this is a fantastic late development that just came through. I don't know if you're aware, Jerry, I'm sure you were, that the National Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas, which is a subsidiary of the Smithsonian Institution, has recently, back in April, they opened a highly successful UFO-related exhibit.
Yeah, it's all about Area 51, isn't it?
Exactly. It's called Area 51, Myth or Reality. And it has pulled in such audiences, tremendous audiences, that they were not prepared for such an overwhelming public response. You know, because a lot of people out there in the world don't realize that this is such an enduring and important topic until somebody comes along and focuses attention on it, and then suddenly we realize how important it is to people. So anyway, in April they opened up their exhibit, which kind of touches on the history of Area 51 in Nevada, but it also covers other aspects of UFO research. And the curator of the museum, the curator of the National Atomic Testing Museum, Karen Green, has agreed to come to our Roswell 2012 conference and be a speaker to tell us not only a little bit about Area 51 and its history and the paranormal associations with it as well, but also to tell us how the exhibit came about at the National Atomic Testing Museum. And she's going to share with us a multimedia presentation about the exhibit, how they put it together. And we expect that that's going to be an extremely entertaining and educational experience as well. So Karen Green will be speaking. She's a confirmed speaker for us at the Roswell 2012 conference, which, by the way, people can get all the information about it, including the daily speaking schedule, by simply going to roswell2012.com.
Roswell2012.com.
Yes.
John LeMay, you and Noe, what are you going to speak on, basically, the subject of this book, or have you got something else you're going to talk about?
Well, Noe and I together are going to do a lecture on the real cowboys and aliens, and it's worth noting, it's really cool, Jerry, the week before the UFO Festival, and I believe this is on June 25th or June 24th, we're going to be having the first ever Roswell Comic Con and Film Festival. So during that event, Noe and I will be giving a lecture on the real cowboys and aliens. And then also during the UFO Festival, which is the next weekend, Noe and I will be giving various lectures. I'm going to do one on the history of Roswell, the town, and I'm going to do one on basically, the subject is other towns across America that have strange festivals like Roswell's. That's going to be another of my lectures, and then Noe and I will do the real cowboys and aliens again.
I wish we had more time. I'd like to, for you to name some of those towns. Mention one of them, a strange festival.
Okay, probably the best one is Point Pleasant, West Virginia. That's the town where the Mothman Prophecies event occurred. You're probably familiar with that, aren't you, Jerry?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well,
the Mothman, he may show up this year.
Oh, yeah, that would be neat. Yes, they basically, they're just like Roswell. They have a Mothman Museum. They have a Mothman Festival. They're kind of like the Roswell of the Northeast, and basically I wrote a book last year called Roswell USA, which is all about these different towns, so you can also check that out on roswellbooks.com.
Noe, it sounds like you guys are going to be busy for a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, there's an added dimension to it, Jerry, because for the first time ever, we're going to be offering narrated van tours in Roswell during the UFO Festival. It's going to take people out to all of the important and key sites where the Roswell incident happened. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that the crash happened about 40, 50 miles north of town and that was the end of it. But actually, all of the crash debris and the bodies were brought back into the town of Roswell by the military. And in the town of Roswell, at the old military base south of town, that's where the real action and excitement happened. So we're going to be taking people on a tour of the important sites there within the city of Roswell associated with the Roswell UFO crash. We have a professional narration that was done for us along with sound effects and music and audio clips from the key Roswell witnesses such as Glenn Dennis and Walter Hout and others. That are incorporated into the narration for these van tours, and so that's going to be another exciting aspect that we've never
done. How do they get the van tour? Where do they go to get on the van?
Yeah, everything's going to be based out of the Convention Center and the Roswell Museum and Arts Center, but complete information about that will be at our conference website, roswell2012.com. There's a phone number there to call to get more information about the van tours, or they can submit an email online. And we're really looking forward to the tours because with the sound effects, the music, the narration, and the eyewitness audio clips, it's really quite a multimedia, multi-sensory experience because as we go and visit each one of these mysterious sites, you will actually hear the witnesses themselves describing what they saw there, and you'll have, you know, it will just be an experience, I think, that's going to appeal to all the senses, And we're really hoping that people
will. Yeah, well, it was a fantastic tour when you guys were doing a walking tour. I mean, so now with all the added bells and whistles, this has got to be something everybody needs to see.
That's exactly right, Jerry. And another really neat feature is our conference, Roswell 2012 conference, is tied in with the observance of World UFO Day. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am a little bit.
Yeah, it's an international effort to focus more attention on the existence of unidentified flying objects. And there are observations, celebrations, festivals, conferences going on all over the world during the same weekend in July and culminating on July 2nd, which is the official World UFO Day. But the days leading up to it and the days afterward, it's kind of a celebration and a focus, a refocus awareness on the undoubted existence of UFOs and the impact that they've had on human society over our entire history, really.
Wow. John LeMay, I'm going to talk a little bit about this book that you wrote with Noli. And then you wrote another book about Roswell and some pretty famous people I want to get into in a minute. But first of all, both of you can get in on this conversation. In your book there, you allude to the fact that there's hundreds of UFO sightings that were reported throughout North America in the 19th century. I'm talking about in the 1800s.
Right, Jerry, and they were all real newspaper articles as well. They weren't just hearsay or secondhand accounts.
Yeah, we're familiar with the one in Texas where they actually buried the extraterrestrial. But name some other things that have happened in the 1800s. I mean, you have documented newspaper articles that during that period, farmers, cowboys, ranchers, and other people saw strange signs and wonders in the sky, and
even
some encounters with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
Maybe both of you could tell me a little bit about this. I mean, the thing that always stands out about this is well before people were flying around.
Exactly,
I think they might have had some hotter than air balloons, but they weren't very common either.
Well, when John and I were discussing this project about over a year ago, when Steven Spielberg's blockbuster movie, now, which is a great work of fiction and one that both John and I really enjoyed watching, but it was nothing more than that. It was meant to be an entertaining work of fiction, kind of a mashing together of the old West movies, the Western movies, and your space age sci-fi thrillers with the nasty green aliens that ooze slime and come to steal Earth's resources. You know, we've seen the same plot line over and over from Hollywood, so it was nothing out of the ordinary. But we thought, when John and I talked, his background as a historian and archivist, he works with the Historical Society for Southeast New Mexico and has been involved in that line of work for a long time. And my background in an interest in UFOs, as well as I've got several books that are non-UFO related that have to do with historical events as well. So we kind of thought it would be really neat to, with a movie coming out, it had been announced but it hadn't been released yet, when our first edition of The Real Cowboys and Aliens was in the planning stages, he and I thought it would be really interesting to go back and look at those cases from the 1800s in order that people would know that there really were UFO sightings and reported contacts with strange beings that people considered to be not from this world. And you know, one of the earliest known UFO sightings, or actually one of the earliest reported UFO sightings in that century, occurred in 1864, when a Rocky Mountain fur trapper was up in the mountains one day when he saw a streak of light come across the sky and land about a half mile or so from where he was standing. And when he got up close to it, you know, it was a fearful impact, shook the ground, And when he got up close to where the object had struck, he saw that the whole area, the dirt was kind of permeated with some kind of liquid substance. Maybe it was part of the fuel that this object was using. But the most curious thing was that when he went up to this flaming object, which had just fallen out of the sky, he saw all along the outside of it these strange hieroglyphics, markings that looked like Egyptian hieroglyphics, but instead of depicting, you know, animals and human beings, stick figures and stuff like that, like real Egyptian hieroglyphics do, it was more mathematical or geometric in design. So this case, one of the first reported UFO crash cases actually occurred in 1864, so that was long before manned flight of any kind. You know, I think hot air balloons even were just in the early stages back in the 1860s.
Yeah, and they weren't likely to be in Colorado.
Oh, absolutely not. So that's the story that we kick off the book with, and then we have many, many others because we looked at hundreds of cases, and we just kind of cherry-picked the top, 15 or 20 cases for our book, but all of them equally as intriguing. And I know John can mention a couple of his favorites as well.
Yeah, John, tell us a favorite story.
Well, there's a lot of very strange ones, Jerry. I mean, there are really no accounts of cowboys just seeing a UFO fly over their heads. There's nothing like that. They're all very, very strange. Like one of the UFOs they saw, they described as a flying serpent. And I mean, that's very, very strange. And, for instance, we also have a story about Native Americans claiming to see Bigfoot being dropped out of a UFO into the forest. And, then on top of that, we've also got a story on a USO, you know, an unidentified submersible object. I can't remember the year, 1890 something, but it's a very, very strange story about this, it's a real newspaper article, and the witnesses describe it as being kind of like this mechanical caterpillar that swims in the water and almost electrocutes two men to death. So all of the stories are not your typical UFO sightings.
Yeah.
They're very, very
strange. And now this book has lots of illustrations, and you have several artists that have contributed. And the one that got my attention was Shane Oliver and his son Jared. They're there with the fire department, right? And in
Roswell.
That's
correct. Yeah, they're both. Well, Shane's a retired fireman, but mm-hmm. Jared actually for a long time worked at Station One, which is the famous station where, you know, what was his name, Dan Dwyer.
Yes,
was that
right.
The famous Roswell witness? That, you know, where Dan Dwyer worked. And Jared actually did a lot of the illustrations in that same Station One, which is kind of interesting.
And, Noah, you got a guy up in Oregon that did some of the work, too. He did some of your other books as well.
We have a fantastic artist, Joe Calkins, whose website is CerberusArt.com. And Joe is very interested in UFOs and the paranormal. So when I approached him some years ago about doing the cover for The Ultimate Guide to the Roswell UFO Crash, he was very happy to jump on board. And he did a marvelous, marvelous depiction of the crash north of Roswell. You know, you've got the crash saucer down on the side of a hill. And you've got three little E.T. bodies lying in the desert. And you've got the military jeep from the Roswell Army Base just coming into the picture and observing, the aftermath of the crash. Well, Joe Calkins, he not only has a tremendous artistic talent, but he has the ability to conceptualize very well what I'm trying to depict with the book. So he took the concept of real cowboys and aliens, and he came up with this fantastic cover art, which, by the way, people can see on our website, roswellbooks.com. He depicts basically an Old West gunslinger that's about to draw his pistol in kind of a quick draw scenario, and standing in front of him is this odd extraterrestrial guy who has some kind of orb of energy starting to circulate in the palm of his hand. So it's kind of a Wild West meets E.T. showdown. They're facing off one against the other. And you've got a feeling, you know, the cover is so striking. You've got a, it generates a feeling in the pit of your stomach as you're looking at it, that something really bad is about to happen for the human in the picture. You don't know exactly what, but the energy is building up and something is going to take place there. So we were very very thrilled at Joe Calkins's artwork on that. Joe also did the cover for our Aliens in the Forest book, by the way, that Ruben Uriarte.
He did with Ruben Uriarte.
Yeah, we've gotten a tremendous amount of positive feedback on the cover art for Aliens in the Forest.
Yeah, now you got somebody from Wisconsin too involved in art.
Yeah, Neil Reby. John can talk more about that. Go ahead, John.
Oh, it's too long of a story to get into completely, but as a child, I used to read Neil Reby's stories that he wrote, and then as I grew up, I found his email address online and kind of became friends with him, and then I found out that Neil was an excellent illustrator. And so, you know, went from me, you know, enjoying Neil's stories as a kid to, you know, hiring him basically to illustrate my books, which then led to him illustrating in turn Noe's other books like Aliens in the Forest and also this Real Cowboys and Aliens.
I want to say that Neil Reby's work on both those books, Aliens in the Forest and The Real Cowboys and Aliens, is just extraordinary. I mean, it just visually gets the message right to the reader. I've had such fantastic comments about the artwork in Aliens in the Forest, for example. I incorporated Neil's sketches that he drew of this incredible UFO encounter that took place in 1964 near Sacramento, California, where these three hunters were out in the national forest during bow and arrow hunting season, and they had an incredible encounter with a huge mothership and then some beings that came out of it. And he depicted those scenes based on using, you know, I sent him the sketches that were done by the principal eyewitness in that case, and he conceptualized it and made it look tremendous, with tremendous impact in the book. It just, you know, I took the work that Neil Reby did and incorporated it into my PowerPoint presentation that I do when I talk about the book. And the audiences, I just look at the people watching my PowerPoint slides, and I can just see the impact that his artwork is having on the audience. It's just,
I can't let you off the air without talking to John about his new local book. It's called Legendary Locals of Roswell. And, John, you got some pretty interesting information about people who are from Roswell.
Yeah,
Demi Moore,
for
instance.
Yeah.
And John Denver.
You want to know something really funny, and this isn't just a made-up story or exaggerated. My aunt and uncle used to babysit Demi Moore, so, you know,
really?
Got a family tie there.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
anyway, so that's available. Where can they find that book?
It just became available for order today, and the easiest place to get it, as always, is Amazon.com.
Okay, let's wrap this up by once again mentioning what's going to happen here over the 65th anniversary of Roswell with you guys.
Yeah, we want to invite everybody out. Our conference is totally free. All the lectures are free. It's 4 days worth of wall-to-wall lectures by famous ufologists. We're starting on Thursday, June 28th, and we're going through Sunday, July 1st at the Roswell Museum and Arts Center, which is right next to the convention center. John and I and many of our friends will be involved. You've got Karen Green, the curator from the National Atomic Testing Museum. You've got a group from Laredo, Texas, that's coming up to show how they conduct their UFO investigations using some modern technology. We've just got a world, a very interesting event, and it's all completely free. We'd like to invite everybody to join us. We're also going to have the van tours, for which, you know, for the tours there will be a small fee to cover our expenses and arranging for transportation and so forth. But the rest of the conference, all the lectures and stuff, are totally free. More information is at Roswell2012.com, Roswell2012.com, and also RoswellBooks.com.
And they need to come early because you guys are going to be appearing the weekend before that with this film festival, right?
Yeah, we've got the Roswell Comic Con. It's basically kind of a comic book convention, but it also looks at UFOs as well. And that's going to be on Saturday, July 23rd. And,
June 23rd.
June 23rd and Sunday, June 24th. On Saturday, John and I and the other folks that are involved in the Roswell 2012 conference will be having a little forum where we'll be talking about why the Roswell UFO crash is still relevant after 65 years. So we're all going to be involved in having kind of a roundtable discussion about that on Saturday afternoon. And then Sunday, June 24th in the morning, John and I will be speaking together about the release of our new book, of our revised book, the second edition of The Real Cowboys and Aliens. And then on Thursday of that week, which is the 28th, of course, we'll begin our conference, which is the Roswell 2012 conference.
Thanks very much, both of you.
Oh, there's also a film festival, Jerry, in addition to the Comic Con.
John LeMay and Noe Torres, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again pretty soon.
We'll see you soon, Jerry. Thank you. Bye-bye.